You know, some of the biggest lessons I've learned in my life, I've learned the hard way. But sometimes I've had the great privilege, I guess, to learn something because someone else learned it the hard way. That you got to see someone else go through something hard or get hurt in a way that could have been avoided, and I was the beneficiary. I learned that lesson the same time they learned it. You know, if you've maybe worked on some wiring around the house, and maybe you've had a friend or a neighbor come over to help you with it. Well, the first time they touch a live wire, maybe you've learned the lesson, we should probably turn that off first, huh? Maybe they learned that they can't trust you to turn things off before they start working on it. A lot of warning labels, I think, come about this way. You see products that have strange warning labels, and it's because the company learned the hard way that not everyone understood how to use the product. It's starting to get warmer and warmer outside, and you start seeing those little sunshades people put in their car window. You know the ones. They block the entire windshield. The ones with the little warning that says, don't drive with this up. If you can't see out your window, you might stay cool, but I wonder where you're going to end up driving. Products that have weird labels on them, like hair dryers that say, don't use while sleeping. You know what I like to do? If I'm having trouble sleeping, I just get my hair real wet, and I get the hair dryer going, and it's just so soothing, you can just fall asleep with it. I'm not sure who did that, but probably something bad happened as a result. One side of my head got really, really dry. I did not appreciate it. You guys need to put a label on this thing. Clothes irons. Oftentimes they'll have a label on them that says, warning, don't iron your clothes while you're wearing them. Just a few little wrinkles. Nope, still there. Okay, I think we're okay. Chainsaws that often have a warning, don't hold it by the blade. There's a handle for a reason. You can tell when they have to take safety seriously. When you see older equipment, you see like a really old chainsaw and all it has is, it just has a trigger. There's no other safety thing. Like you touch this, the blade starts going. And then you see modern ones and it's like, well, no, now you have to hold this button down and pull this lever back and then you can pull the trigger. If you just go for it straight away, it's not going to work for you. That these types of warning labels often show you the mistakes that other people have made. They're to give you a little bit of insight into what's happened before. Sometimes you're doing something and the people around you who are participating make you rethink what you're doing. You know, it's the old saying that parents would tell their kids. If all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump too? Well, I mean, I guess first I should watch and see what happened to them, right? If they're having a lot of fun, things are going really well, maybe I will. The first two or three people break their legs, I'm saying, you know what? I like these legs. Let's not continue with this jumping experiment. Maybe you've gone out hiking sometime. You go out to the trailhead and maybe you were a little scattered in the morning, so you're getting there later than you thought you would. And so you're pulling up just after lunch and you get out and you have your water bottle and your family with you. And what do you see coming back to the parking lot? Another family, another group of hikers. And you see them and they look like they're in better shape than you are. And they started when it was cooler than it is now. And they seem to be carrying more water bottles than you have with you. Their shoes are nicer. And boy, do they look tired. Boy, do they look worn out. and you say, "Hey, how's the hike?" "Oh, we didn't make it the whole way." "Huh. All right, kids, back in the car." "And this might not be the path for us." You can learn those lessons. But on the other hand, sometimes you can learn the wrong lesson. You can see what happens with other people, and you learn the wrong lesson as a result. That's the warning that we're looking at today in the passage that we're reading in 1 John, in 1 John chapter 2. It's a warning against learning the wrong lessons from the people around you. And so we're reading in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 18. John has been speaking to this church, a church that has gone through crisis, in part, at least, because people of the church, perhaps longtime members and teachers, have turned away from the faith. They've left the church, and at this time, almost certainly, all the churches in a town were part of the same gathering. So it wasn't just that they started worshiping with another group or switched what Bible study they were attending. These were people who now were saying, "Actually, we had it wrong. Some of the things that we thought about Jesus and about God, we no longer believe. And hey, you guys should join us as well." And as they left the church, conflict came, uncertainty. And so he's had some introductory matters, and he's reminded this church about the way they can overcome evil and to stand firm, to change your desires. And he gets into this section, this 1 John 2, 18 and following. "Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you do in and among us. And we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, that you would make your scripture clear to us, that we would know you more today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here, this church was at danger of learning the wrong lesson. People had left. They had now begun to deny things about Jesus, denying that Jesus came in the flesh, denying that Jesus was the Christ. And especially when it's respected people in the church, I think it was hard for many of them to see this happen and know what does it mean. You can learn the wrong lesson from the people around you. And so here, John's main message is that even seeing people that you know and that you have worshipped beside turn away from the faith should not shake you up. Because if they were truly of us, they would have continued with us. It would be like if you saw someone else eat a scoop of peanut butter and they were allergic. And so from then on, you said, "I can't have peanut butter." You know how it makes your throat close up and you can't breathe. Your face turns all red. Like, oh, are you allergic? I don't know. I saw someone though. Or if you see someone with an allergy to bees. And so if ever a bee shows up, they're real on edge. Get away from me. Oh, no. I need to go inside. Can't be here. Tell me when the bee's gone. And so for the rest of your life, you think, okay, if there's a bee around, we got to take that real seriously. Make sure we get out of the way. Give it plenty of space. Later, if you see someone else, maybe a beekeeper, oh yeah, I've been stung lots of times. How are you still alive? Well, it's not that bad. It hurts a little. Have you learned the wrong lesson about bees? And so here, John is trying to encourage the people. Remind them to stay firm, not in some new teaching, but in a reminder of what they already know. And he starts with the centrality of Jesus. That Jesus is at the center of this. We spoke a little bit last week of the Antichrist. Here he continues that those who were standing against Christ, who had turned away from the message of the Christ, from the story of the gospel, reminding them that this is central to our belief, to the reason that we gather as believers, a common faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 22, who is the liar? When people are questioning things, when they're speaking against things, how do you know who to trust? If someone denies that Jesus is the Christ, well, their teaching has no place in the church. That term comes from the word that means anointed, the anointed one. The Antichrist, the one who is against the anointed one. And we see that same word used in verse 20, the same root, you have been anointed by the Holy One and you all have knowledge. That anointing, that work of Jesus, the receiving of the Holy Spirit at the center of what we do. That reminder that no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. This is something that it doesn't just affect the people of the first century. Not just this early church as they were trying to figure things out, but it reflects on stories that we hear today. Stories that affect us, people in churches across the United States. Because it is so easy to find stories of people who were leaders in a church, who were respected, and that wasn't the whole story. People who either fell into sin or rejected the faith. Oftentimes there are people who perhaps hadn't proven themselves as much as they could have ahead of time. Many very young leaders who came out of college and were involved in a big or explosive ministry. And then after a couple of years, they say, you know, I'm not a believer anymore. Stories that are easy to find if you look online. And many who have built an audience speaking to young people and to kids who then later come back and say, well, I'm not a believer now. And for many, hearing these stories, it makes them question. If that person couldn't do it, as popular or as famous as they are, then what about me? And this world gives many other options besides following Jesus. Many other ways that people point to get to God. That some take exception to the fact that Jesus is the only way. that, because it says even in this section, no one who denies the Son has the Father. But there is no other way to God. And we hear people say, you know, I don't need to believe in God or follow the Bible to be a good person. I think I'm doing pretty well on my own, and I don't need those things. And oftentimes you can look at them and say, well, yeah, they seem like a pretty friendly guy. But they are not holding to Jesus in the center. That according to John in this teaching, it is actually a benefit for God's people not to have those who deny Jesus as part of the body of Christ, the body apparent in the gathering, because they are not truly of us. That there is an importance of unity in the church. That part of God's caring for the church is in revealing and removing those who would lead others astray. That when we are united, when we have that common faith and we are lifting one another up, that the Spirit is at work in and around us. We can weather even popular people or powerful people leaving the gathering. That Jesus, when he was gathering his disciples, he did not choose the wise and the strong and the powerful. It was never meant to be a church based on riches and popularity and power, but on God using the weak, giving them strength, and then us being united in our belief and our message. That in verse 19, these people went out from us, but they were not of us. And this cuts to the difficulty we have in judging one another. Because we can only judge by outward appearance. That if you ask, well, how do you know who's part of your church? The easiest answer is, well, they show up on Sunday morning. They've sat next to me a whole lot of times. But God looks deeper. And one of the great signs of a true faith is a faith that lasts, that endures to the end. There are some who fool themselves and many who fool others. But we can be united as we are living and proclaiming the work of Jesus, having that role of Jesus central to our gathering. And then finally with this commitment that we have to the truth, being committed to the truth. In verse 21, he says, I write to you not because you do not know the truth. Probably one of the charges that these other teachers were bringing them, people who had left the church. Well, you don't really know. We've just learned more than you have. That message was fine for a time, but now we know better. How can you still believe that old book? John says, I'm not writing this to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it. You know the truth, and no lie is of the truth. That you can judge these things according to the scripture you've received, the teaching that's been passed down generation after generation. The liar is the one that denies Jesus is the Christ. If we can't agree on that, you don't need to hear out the rest of the story to find out if they make a lot of sense in some other areas. There are many who deny Jesus and the authority of the Bible. And as I said, they'll point to their idea of being a good person. Maybe they'll even criticize those who believe. So you're telling me the only reason you don't murder someone is because you think God would be mad at you if you did? You seem like a real jerk. So every day you're out there just thinking, man, who can I murder today? Who can I murder today? And every time you got to stop yourself. Oh, God wouldn't like that. Guess I can't murder someone. Like a little kid who's upset because they can't have a piece of candy. And so people in the world will say, you know, a lot of these things, you know, I don't want to hurt people. I didn't need God to tell me not to do these things. But what they really say is, I chose my own measure of truth. And so there's a list of things that I feel like are bad and I shouldn't do them. And I'm happy to go along with those. But if the one who created this universe has his own list of rules, well, I don't give much weight to that. But as Christians, we are committed to the truth revealed through Scripture. And so we don't seek to shape our own lives by just what we think is good and bad, or the people around us say they want or don't want us to do. But knowing that God has revealed the truth to us, that truth in sin not being related just to how much it hurts somebody else, but sin that is ultimately wrapped up in who we are, in our hearts. And Jesus, in his teaching, spoke not just of those external things. Well, sure, you don't murder people, but do you hate them? What's happening in your heart? You haven't committed adultery. That's great. What's going on in your heart? That truth that sin comes about not just because our hands move in the wrong way, that the wrong item ends up in our pocket, but sin comes about because fundamentally we were created to give glory to God. And when we fail to do that, we are going against our true purpose. That the shaping of our desires that we spoke of in these past weeks is not some side thing that you can do if you want to be a really great Christian, but it is core to living out our faith. A commitment to the truth of God. And so people in the world, people who have left the church, they can do a lot of good things by the world standards. People can come to church and they can seem to be a very good person by the world's standards. But we can only give glory to God. We can only be pleasing to Him when we hold to His truth. When we confess the Son, that if we know Jesus, that if we set our hearts on Him, then we can praise His name and give glory to Him. And even when others fall away, we can have confidence because we have the truth. No one who denies the Son has the Father. But for us who have come, we who confess the Son have the Father also. There are a lot of ways that people fall into sin and failure. But let us not learn the wrong lessons. Not that we would see others in sin and in failing and decide that this life is just too hard or faith is too difficult. But remember that we have the truth, that we have been anointed by the Holy One, that we do not rely on our own strength or the outward appearance of ourselves or the people around us, but on the truth revealed by God. Let us be people who hold on to the end, confessing Jesus, knowing the Son, and knowing the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the work that you do in and among us. And Lord, in this world where in increasingly public ways we see people falling away from faith or rejecting the church, give us strength and boldness that we would stand strong for your kingdom and never let go of that confession of Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One of God. It is in his name we pray. Amen.